Let's go on over here. Daf Mem Tes Amabez. Baruch Hashem, you've come. So good to see you. We have the cup today with the hole in it, just in case we can do the experiments. Yes, we're doing some experiments.
No holes.
Machnes Ve'in Amaitzi. All these very delicious words. Okay, Daf Mem Tes Amabez. The mission. Today's Daf Nun. Daf Nun. It's like Vayehi bin Soyha Arayin. There are two nuns. There's the two upside down nuns. There's a nun on an aleph and a nun on a beis. It's a sefer b'fnei atzmai.
You have the same chumash that I have.
Yeah? I have a dirshu chumash. Is that the same? It's the same Torah? I don't know. Okay. Oh, look who came here. Look who came. I want to remind you the shiur begins at 8:30. Excuse me, sir. The doors lock at 8:30. What are you coming over here? 8:15. Kol HaKosh Lodun Kosh Loi. Okay, it's very late. Kol HaKosh Lodun Kosh Loi. Anyone that has Kosh Lodun, anyone that has Kosh Loi, Dayon. Ein Eid Nase Dayon. Remember that sugya? An Eid cannot be a Dayon. So here it says that we're not discussing a situation where the Eid is doing both. We're discussing the person in two different situations. Okay, an Eid cannot be a Dayon in the same case. I'm going to be a witness, and I'm also going to decide the halacha. That you cannot do. But a person who is fit to be a witness in this case is fit to be a dayon in a different case. We'll go the way around, I should say. Okay, anyone that's fit to be a dayon is kosher l'cho'id, not in this particular case, in a different case. But the yesh kosher, but when it comes the other way, the yesh kosher l'cho'id, in kosher l'cho'id, but the people that are kosher to testify, but are not testified to be that the standards for a dayon are higher. Okay, this is a continuation of the theme of the entire parak. The entire parak is discussing one-way streets. Whole parak deals with situations where it all started with a nida, with a woman. A woman has two simonim, the simoni tachtoin and the simoni elyoin. A woman that has the simoni elyoin, it's a given, it's a guarantee physically that she has the simoni tachtoin. But just because a woman has the simoni tachtoin, she has shtei sairos, does not necessarily mean that she has the simoni elyoin. As an extension of that principle, we now learn here many other examples of that have same exact principle where you get it's a one-way street. If you have this, you're guaranteed to have that. But if usually you have that...
Usually after they give birth, they have the simoni elyoin.
After they give birth, they have what? Elyoin.
Simoni elyoin,
yeah. Elyoin.
Elyoin.
Okay, because they nurse.
Yeah.
So nursing causes their body to manufacture cholof. Yeah, yeah. So that changes their body. Okay. What are we referring to? The Mirror says, "My a person that's blind in one of his eyes." Umani Rabbi Meir he the Tanya Haya Rabbi Meir Oimer my Tamalomar Al PM Yia Kol Riv Kol Noga. Through the Dayanim will be every quarrel and every nega. Why does the pasuk equate a quarrel? There's a fight over money. Eitzel the sugya of negoyim to teach the following. Makish rivim l'negoyim ma negoyim bayoyim. A nega can only be seen by day. Dersev uviyoyim heroois boy. Af rivim a din Torah can only be done by day. Rivim bayoyim a ma'isa bez. One of the makaros you learn that a ma'isa bez is only done by day. And ma negoyim shel another halacha uma negoyim sheloi besuma. A nega cannot be decided by a blind person. D'chsev l'chol mare einei ha'kohen. Afrivim shloi besuma. A dayon that is blind cannot be a dayon. Makish negoyim l'rivim. Marivim all the way around. Marivim shloi bekroivim. Just like a quarrel cannot be done, a dayon cannot be a relative. Af negoyim shloi bekroivim. Someone who is a relative to the menuga cannot be a dayon to say about him that he is Tame or Tar. Fact the Gemara Imar Rivim Bishleisha Bezani 3 Af Negoyim Bishleisha Vidinu. And the Gemara says no. And this is logical. Why is it logical? Memoinai Bishleisha Gufa like Kol Shekain. To declare a person to be a Menuga is a much more severe punishment to a person than telling him that you have to pay money. You pay money, no harm done to the person's body. Declaring a person to be a Mitzoyra, you're putting him in Shamta, you're putting him in Cherim, he has to do all these horrible things, he has to shave his body, he's a sick person, no one can talk to him. So if you need three Dayanim to declare a person for Bezin, to take money out of him, so certainly you need three people to go and declare a person a Menuga. So that's what we would think. Kamash Molon Vidinu Memoina Bishlaisha Gufa Lakoshain Tamulema Vihuva, he shall be brought El Aroin Hakoihain Oi El Achad Mibanov Hakoihanim. So to one of his children, one person, Holamadata, from here we learn Shafilu Koin Echod Roya Es Hanegoi. Now how is all of this going to be relative to our Sugya? Because our Sugya over here, our sugya said shaloi bisumin. If you go back to top of the Rashi on top of the page, we're going like a Meir. A Meir is Elpim called Yirivchol Nega. We're makish a dayon to a kohen who sees negoim. Just like a person who decides on negoim cannot be blind, because the pasuk explicitly says l'chol marei einei hakohen, the dayon cannot be blind. And Rashi says shaloi bisumin. The pasuk of Suma be'achas me'enav ladon shloim b'sumin v'afilu sum be'achas me'enav l'chol marina koin adika kula mare. So his drasha comes, even though the Gemara does not discuss it. The Gemara goes off on a tangent, discuss all the other halachas, but it says here the word l'chol mare. The word l'chol is a ribui to be marbe, that the dayan must look at the nega with two eyes. The coin that's going, that's the side of, if a person is a menuga or not, must look at them with two eyes. So to a dayan must be, have two eyes. One eye,
he must have.
No, he has to have. No, he doesn't have to look at anything. It's conceptual. They come to him, they come to
right,
the
he
dayan.
He has to
be able to look with two eyes. Why? Oh, but it's about money. It doesn't matter. That's the gzeres hakos, the drasha. The drasha, since the pasuk compares the dayan to a coin that declares a person to be a menuga, and that Koyin that declares Tsaras must have two eyes, because it says the word L'chol Mare, and Rashi is adding in what it does not say in the Gemara. The Gemara is telling the basic Braisa, but it says L'chol Mare. L'chol is a ribui. Mare is the eyesight. The entire eyesight must be functional in order for the Dayan to decide, the Koyin to decide if he is in the Menuga. Likewise, the Dayan must have two eyes. What Bechlal? Why did Hashem create a person with two eyes in general? What's the Lamdus? Depth vision. Personally, in one eye, there's a lack of depth. If a person closes one eye, there's a lack. You don't have the two eyes created entirely.
What if he's temporarily blind? He's getting a cataract. That
so that's a mum oiver. So l'chayr at that point in time, maybe so l'chayr, maybe you're right. If at that moment in time he doesn't have two eyes, l'chayr at that moment in time he's possible. L'chayr, I don't know. I'm assuming that a person that we have a drasha, yes, that if a person cannot see, he cannot pass it on the goyim, right? If he has a cataract surgery and they put something over his eyes and he can't see for whatever the period of time is while he has surgery, so at that moment of time he can't decide if a person has saras. So to l'chayr is not fit, he's ineligible to be a dayan. Moshe Dayan would not be able to be a dayan.
Uh-huh. He was a ain general, dayan.
Ain dayan. Ooh, he's saying ain dayan. Dayan. He was not able
it's
to
good
be.
Shot. Good
wow,
shot.
Very good. He could be a witness. You can be one eye. You can be a witness. But you cannot be a dayan unless you have two eyes. What's the musa haska? What's the depth? What's the meaning? Because I once heard this from someone, because two eyes gives you depth, gives you a different dimension of sight. You're able to see things from you're able to see the depth of something. One eye, you're limited in seeing the depth. You can see two-dimensional, you can see even three-dimensional, but there's another dimension which is hard to describe in words that you're given when you have another eye. You know, today it's a big thing with cameras. Over here, there's a guy over here, Chaim Fried. He's a very big mumcha in this technology in face recognition. Today, every single camera you have can do face recognition. It's no big gadol. Everyone has that. But there's almost this the technology to do facial recognition at a distance of 15 feet, 20 feet, is almost non-existent. To be able to go take a camera and watch a guy walk in the door over there and tell you who the person is something that is extremely, extremely challenging with all the technology that we have today. And he specialized in this field, and they don't just use facial recognition, they use other different points of reference on the body to make up a whole composite. And one of the things that they do is they don't use one camera. You use multiple cameras. The more cameras you have, even if they're right next to each other, because each camera gives you another dimension. And is
iPhone.
Able to create what?
The new iPhones have three cameras on.
Oh, they have three cameras on it, but they do one shot. They do the picture one shot, all three together. Could be they do in one shot. That's all part of the new technology. Is one camera? It's the human being. A human being has two eyes. Some octopus, all these other funny creatures, they have how many eyes? Some of them have hundreds of eyes. Okay, he says the Malachim have eyes all over, and the 300 they have the counts, and Sefer Yechezkel tells you how many eyes they have. What's the Maila? The more eyes you have, the more depth, the more comprehensive.
Octopus has two eyes.
Two eyes. So there's another creature. Other creatures.
I think insects, the fly.
Flies. Multiple eyes. Right. There's certain types of creatures that have multiple eyes, and it creates an entirely different dimension in being able to analyze something. So the Musa Haskell is that when a Dayan decides something, don't look at a Din Torah superficially. A, B, and C. Guy comes in, I testify, Reuven did this. Okay, case closed. That's not what a Dayan is. A Dayan has to have two eyes. Just like in the physical world, he has to be able to see something from a different dimension. It's not just a flat, two-dimensional eye object. The second eye gives you an entirely different perspective. Likewise, when you look at a Din Torah, you have to be able to see all of the angles of why the person is right or wrong and make a clear decision. That's the Musa Haskell of learning it from, because the Nega, also Nega, you have to, the Kohen has to see the entire Nega, the entire perspective of the Nega. Okay, there's something else I wanted to tell you. I don't remember what I wanted to tell you. Okay, maybe we'll come back, or maybe come back to me later on about...
Yeah, but if the Dayan says, you know, I don't want to look at it today, you know, I'll look at it on Wednesday, you know, so then the guy, you know...
The guy may heal by then.
No,
a chassan, you don't look at a nega.
No, a chassan, you don't look at a nega because
all 7 days.
To miss his, you know, his wedding, whatever.
The Rambam says if a psalm sefer Torah, the first 7 days, a brand new sefer Torah, the first time you use it, after the Messiah, you don't, and they say there's a psalm sefer Torah, you don't look at it. It's no worse than a chassan for 7 days, and you don't look at negoyim. You do not passel a sefer Torah the first 7 days. Isn't it incredible chiddush? Mm-hmm. They tell the Rav, there's a mistake in the sefer Torah. What mistake? That's the halach, the Rambam says. It's like a chassan. You don't look for negoyim during the first 7 Shivas Yemei HaMishta. You don't look to passel a sefer Torah during the first 7 days of a sefer Torah. Unbelievable chiddush. First Shabbos, you don't passel a sefer Torah. Weiter. Next Gemara. Ahu Sum Samuel was a blind man to have a bishiv vuse, but a witness, by the way, you don't need two eyes. A witness, you only need one eye. A witness just has to report the facts. Don't give us, in other words, the Mordika Musa Haskell, don't give us your interpretation. Many times you have a witness, an expert witness on the stand. Okay, I would imagine, I don't watch too many television shows that show these two
Mason,
trials.
Harry Mason.
But I would imagine an expert witness, the Lama Bale Gaiva. And they're not just there to prevent information. They're there to tell the judge who wins the case. Right? They try to influence. I'm telling you, this is my testimony about this technology, the science. And let me give you advice, Mr. Judge. Your Honor, that the person is innocent or guilty. Because since I know this matter, I can tell you what the halacha should be. Excuse me, sir. You're nothing but a witness. A witness only needs one eye. One eye means you just tell us the facts. Don't go look at everything from different angles and become a chacham, a smart aleck. The people who have the two eyes are the judges. They will be the ones who will make the decision who's innocent, who's guilty. You are just here to present the information. That's why a witness only needs one eye, but a dayan needs two eyes. Because the dayan is the one that has to analyze the event, not the witness. He's just here to present the facts. Next. Oh, Sami was a blind person. Dahava Bishiv Vuse Rabbi Yochanan Dahavi Kodoyin. I don't remember what I want to tell you. I want to tell you a very more lucky question. The interesting thing is that we learn from Negoim Luchol Mari Eni HaKoyin that this Maisa Bezdin can only be done by day. You don't go to Dine Torah at night. Lamay Nafkamina, today, do we make weddings at night today? Maisim b'chol yom. Is a get done at night today? No. Gitin only done by day. Why? What's the difference? Because the Masader get is that it's a Maisa Bezdin. The one that the Bezdin, who makes it, gives a get? A Bezdin. A Bezdin gives a get. You need a Bezdin. So it's a Maisa Bezdin. A Maisa Bezdin. L'chol mari einei ha-kohen. We compare dinim, all matters of din, to Negoim. Negoim is Homari Eni HaKoin. A Maisa Bezdin is only done by day, so a get is a Maisa Bezdin by day. Kiddushin. So this is the problem. The truth is, I think the Torah says that Kiddushin, the Mesader Kiddushin is a Shliach Bezdin. And the male, if the Mesader Kiddushin is a Shaliach Bezdin, it's a whole minute, how did it come about that there should even be a Mesader? You don't really need a Bezdin for a get. You don't need a Mesader Kiddushin. Do it yourself. Who needs a Mesader Kiddushin? It's a new thing. It's a takon. It goes back 1,000 years. Yeah. At least 1,000 years. For wedding. Divorce also. Anyway, yeah, we have a Mesader Kiddushin. What is the role, the halachic role of the Mesader Kiddushin? Is he a Shliach Bezdin?
Take money.
But besides take money, is he a Shliach Bezdin? Or is he stam a guy, a nice guy? So many Paiskim say, it's really mashma from the tour, the Rambam, that he's a Shliach Bezdin. He represents. What? Bezdin, just the same way, not a testify, to oversee Kiddushin in Klal Yisrael. Just like a get is given in a Bezdin, because a get is very complicated. There are a lot of things that can go wrong, and it might not be a kosher get, and the result can lead to mamzerus, can lead to many halachic issues. So too, when it comes to Kiddushin, it has to be, there are a lot of things that can go wrong by Kiddushin. People don't even realize.
It's not like a real din Bezdin.
Then why not? It's not a din, but the Mesader, there's a takana. There is a takana, a takana's chazal, that a person does not get married on his own. A person has to hire or has to ask a rabbi to perform the ceremony. Why? Basically, it's like kashrus.
No, only three.
One person. One person. So that's the question. Is the rabbi that is oversees the marriage, is he called a shliach bezdin? I represent the court, and I'm here to make sure that everything is done kedas uchedin, that the tabas is worth a pruta. And the tabas belongs to the husband. And he gave it to the isha. And he said the right words. And the brachos were made correctly. And the two witnesses. And the two witnesses are kosher witnesses. They're not relatives. Right. And they have a kosher chuppah. I mean, there are a million things.
And they're not mamzerim.
And they were divorced. And the people that are getting married were previously divorced. And he's not a kohen marrying a grusha chalutza. I mean, you can't even imagine.
What do you need a Bezdin? How does Bezdin get into that?
Because Bezdin knows all the halachas. The average Tom, Dick, and Harry does not know all the halachas. Do you know how many times it happens when under a chuppah it turns out that the witness is a relative?
No.
It happens.
It happens a lot.
Yeah. So who's responsible for that? The rabbi. Do you know how many times it happens under the chuppah that the ring that the chassan is giving is not even his own? Then it's worked a day in his life. So who gave him the ring? Pop, my dad gave me someone. I bought a ring. Did your father give it to you 100%? Is it really yours? Or maybe you just on loan? I mean, everything you have, you didn't work with it in your life. So it's really called yours? There's an assumption? Okay, maybe yeah. Maybe not. The chuppah has to be done. It has to be four pole. I mean, there are many. There's a badekin. There are many brachas have to be said the correct way. There are a lot of things. You don't even realize in the chuppah how many things can go wrong. And the one that is responsible, that everything is done, the ksuba. You have to know how to write a ksuba, You have to know how to
figure it out. Can get into a fight.
You have to know. Prenup, say a big move to prenuptials. You got to know you got to know the rules. You know, you could do it wrong. You know, my father once went to a wedding of a very kosher Talmud Chacham. My father came back and he said to me, he really does not think it was a kosher wedding. Because they made it was a very, very modern wedding. And it was a very fine young Talmud Chacham from YU, very big Talmud Chacham, the real deal. And they really put a lot of pressure on him to make it into like a very gracious ceremony. And it was a double ring ceremony. And that itself creates a very big problem, unless you do it the right way. And then in addition, he said to them under the chuppah, in the power vested in me, I'm going to create a chalois kiddushin. What? That's total nonsense. Total, there's no power in the rabbi to make the kiddushin. The kiddushin is made between the chas and the kala. You're right. Putting ideas into their mind, which basically, the Kedushin of the Mafra is not even a kosher Kedushin. There are a lot of things that can go wrong. So you need a Shliach Bezdin. If marriage is a Shliach Bezdin, we just learned the Gemara over here, and Tam Daf Nun Amin Aleph, from Sechta Nida, from all places, there's no Maisa Bezdin that takes place at night.
Right.
At night.
What about execution?
Execution? One of the Chasim of the Kaal.
No, someone is a Rotsayach, and they...
Harachim al-Chasim already is going to suffer a lot.
Not not the chassan. He's not a rotzeach. Some other guy was rotzeach, and Bezdin.
That's for sure, Maisa Bezdin. That's what Shabbai did. For sure, for sure.
So can they do, you know?
At night, no.
Can they do, you know, the Arba Mises Bezdin at night? Or
no, for sure not. For sure not. But what about? So this Taka used to be a minig Israel. Marriages were never ever done at night, because it's viewed to be a Maisa Bezdin. Today, for some reason, the Ramah, I think the Machab of the Ramah, he very strangely omitted the word, a certain word in Shulchan Aruch, even though the Makar comes from a Get, the same, he left out a word, left, I forgot the whole Shtigl Torah, which opened up a whole Mahalach that it's not a Maisa Bezdin, he's just a nice guy, the rabbi is there, just whatever, to an observer, he's not a Bezdin. That's why today, probably the majority of weddings today take place at night.
Right.
Probably the majority. That's not the way it used to be. It used to be done.
They do Friday night?
What? No, they did it Friday afternoon. Afternoon, and the Su'udah was a Friday night. But marriage, even you're not even allowed to get married until a Friday night. There's always a Maya with. It was a big fight. It was a big, big fight. And I think with Ramah.
Because of Kenyan?
Yeah, because of Kenyan. And it was a big fight, and they finally made peace. It was already after Shkia. I think it was the Ramah. Maybe not, someone else. And he passed, okay, let's do the marriage now, after Shkia. And the whole World War III broke out.
It's that music and musicians.
Goyim did play the music, not Jews.
Yeah, I know, but they hired the Goyim.
Goyim to play the music. Play music.
On Shabbos.
Friday night. Because Friday night, there's a whole shayla if they had a lot of relations the first time Friday night. Because it caused blood. Right. A whole shayla of dam. All these different shots are very complicated, but it definitely was. I think Rav Chudna's daughter, Bruria, she got married Friday afternoon. Rav Chudna made a wedding. It wasn't a matter of money there. The reason why they made money weddings Friday night, right. I think was because to save money.
Correct.
Because can you imagine today how much money you would save if you had a wedding on Shabbos? No photographer, no video, no new musicians. You'd save, most of it won't come because it's too far away. They can't come. You know how much you would save today? You save a mint of money if you
so
go
they
back.
They do that now in Lakewood.
What? Friday?
Instead of Friday, they do it in Lakewood.
They do it in Lakewood?
Lakewood is
cheap.
It's plenty expensive. Yeah. Plenty expensive. Don't worry. Getting married is not cheap, no matter what you do.
Lakewood it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Cheaper.
After Kona weddings.
It's cheaper. It's not
cheap.
Is that
why Kol Nidre is in the before Shkia?
In Muncie, cost like...
Kol Nidre is the Maisa Bezin, that is correct. Kol Nidre... Also, the reason why is because it's not really.
Sadarim, they make a bezin to be matanet.
Could be, yeah.
And we do it specifically before.
Before you're supposed to, but 99% of the shuls do it after.
No, but here it's dark. What you're saying because it's a ma'aseh bezin.
It's a ma'aseh bezin. Could be, yeah. Yeah, in a chanami. So but today, marriages, and this comes from this daf over here, is a very important halacha. And that's why who's the blind person Havi? That was b'shevusei Rabbi Yochanan the Havi kodoyin dina.
He was
a dying. He was. There was a blind man in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan. The havik called doyin din. He had a shingle. I am a dayan. Anyone has a dispute, come to me. I have a bezdin. I have my own private bezdin. If you have any issues, money issues, come to me. I will settle the disputes. But you're blind, and a blind man is not allowed to be a dayan. And so far, he can do whatever he wants. Because on the hey, but Rabbi Yochanan, the halakha of Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Talmud Yerushalmi, he was the Rabbi Eretz Yisrael, he was in the same neighborhood. How did he tolerate?
Rav Hankin was never a Tzadik Dusha.
Wasn't?
I'm asking you.
I have no idea. Stam he was. Why not?
He was blind.
Rav Hankin?
Yeah.
He was mamish blind?
Yeah.
Mamish couldn't see a thing? How long? The whole life? I never heard he was blind.
You never heard Rav Hankin was blind?
No, I never heard that.
Really?
Never heard that.
Alright.
I don't know. I never heard of this line. I don't know.
Okay.
The Havikodoyin Dina. And this person was a Dayan. This fellow was a Dayan. And Rabbi Yochanan did not lodge a protest. Yes. Okay, in those days you did not mind your business. It was a very violent world. In those days, if someone did something you didn't like, you did something about it. You didn't take it sitting down silent. It wasn't like today, mind your own business. You took action. So here, Rabbi Yochanan was quite v'loy kamar lei v'loy midi. How can you do this? Then Rabbi Yochanan himself paskin that a dayan that's blind is unfit to serve But he says halacha stam mishnah. Utana says the mishnah kol akasha ladin. It says v'feresh. If a stam mishnah, this mishnah is stam mishnah. What does it say in the stam mishnah? Kol akasha ladin. Anyone that's fit to be a dayan is kosh to be a witness. Kosh lichoit. V'yesh kosha lo v'lein kosha ladin. V'yarmino seimai v'yarab yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan himself said la'asuyas v'yachas me'enav. That if a dayan is even blind in one eye, he's not fit to serve as a dayan. Kol shekein, two eyes, he's unfit. We have a kasha, stira, so Rabbi Yochanan, yeah. So what's going on? And Rabbi Yochanan said the halach is like this mishnah, and this mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan, sorry, of a stira. And if the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, stomach, ashkach, there's another mishnah. There's really, be'etzem, there are two mishnayis in the seder of Rabbeinu HaKadosh that are say to another. The Tanan, stayed in this mishnah, dinim on this dinim, don b'yam b'goyim b'layla. It says to him, you can be goyimer b'layla. You can start by day, and you can be going. Now, Laila is a zman of darkness. At night, you can't see. So basically, every dayan is blind at night. Okay, that's a chiddush. Every dayan, or haner, we don't take in the decision of or haner, a naya svar. Not just by negoyim, the whole mari, he really goes back to the whole mari, any akoyim. He wouldn't really explain it correctly. The whole mari, what's the problem? Turn the lights. If a person has a nega, let him go to the dayan. And the dayan will turn on the lights. We have lights. We have electricity. You don't want to use these lights, so use candles. There's light. Obviously, that's not sufficient. The light that you need is the light of the sun. That's only called the correct. That's what you need in order to determine if the nega is a nega. You need there's something real, authentic about daylight that is valuable in regard to determining if a person has a nega.
Right.
Nega. And that cannot be determined, that can be fully seen by artificial light.
Right.
So and that we use as a makar for all dine Torah cannot take place at night. So here he says, it tells me that you're allowed to be goyim b'layla, as long as the dayan starts to din by day, but they're allowed to render the decision at night, provided that they began the deliberations by day. So what is the maskana? That the decision, the rendering of the decision can indeed take place at night. According to this Mishnah. So we have a stira. Here we learned that under no condition can any part of Dinei Torah be at night. And here it says that the conclusion can be at night, which is the most valuable part.
Right.
The conclusion is where you're actually deciding. So we have a stira. So it turns out Rabbi Yochanan, that's why Rabbi Yochanan was silent. Rabbi Yochanan, he explained the Mishnah, Lachistah Mishnah, but when he actually witnessed a fellow in his community serve as a dayan, and he was blind, and he let him get away with it, it must be because he passed like the other Mishnah that says that you let him be blind. Frech the Gemara, why is one Mishnah better than the older? My ulme, the high stomach, my high stomach, ibayisem astam deram adif. Answer number one, astam deram is adif.
What's who the ram?
The answer of Dun and Balayla. That brayse, there are no names. In this brayse, even though it says that halacha is like a meir, kastam mishnah, but here it says we know that it's not a yochid, it's a rabbi. In other words, we know, we have a mishnah, and the mishnah over here says kol kosh lodun kosh lehoit. This mishnah, there is no author, but the brayse tells us a secret that it's not really universal. It's really a das yochid. It's really a mayor. The other mishnah that says that you can be goyim b'layla is everyone. It's a stam mishnah derabim of the rabbanon. Right. So even though both of them are stam mishnayis, and we have a technique that we make a mishnah stam in order, we make a mishnah stam in order to give it more validity, to give it more weight. But when it's an amazing piece of gemara because it all defeats the purpose. The reason why Rabbeinu HaKadosh made a mishnah stam is in order to give the weight, to give the Mishnah the same weight as if it was a rabbin. Mm-hmm. And yet along comes our Gemara, and it says, no thank you. You have this Mishnah, that's a Das Yoch, it's even though it's a Stam Mishnah, but it's a Meir. And there's another Mishnah that's also Stam, that happens to be according to the rabbin. So Meila, that one's better. So it turns out, Mai Hoilu Chachomim B'takonosam. So what then did he benefit by making the Mishnah a Stam? Anyway, we're not going to go past. So the answer is, the benefit was that there would not be a Stam Mishnah. If this is all you got, so then you say, it's a Das Yochid. It's one person. Now that it's Stam, it carries more weight. But Ein Achinami, in a situation where there's another Stam Mishnah that's really like a Rabbim, In this instance, there's taka no benefit for him saying that him making the Mishnah stam. It's a very fascinating concept of, you know, I'm very into this type of stuff is because article is about to publish any moment a new volume.
The
introduction to the Talmud. And they wrote over there what the introduction that we're going to present there a lot of things. Some of the things I didn't really find too interesting, but we're going to present the Igeres of Rabbi Shirira Goin. And they write here, the Igeres of Rabbi Shirira Goin, no, even advanced students, even students of Torah, there was some Nusach there, I've never heard of it. What? How can you say that? Never heard about this letter. It's a 150-page letter that he wrote explaining the history of the making of the Talmud and of the Mishnayos. So I have a sefer that has a very, very fascinating chapter on this, on the letter and all the controversy and all the angles and Meridic stuff.
How long ago did he live?
Died exactly in the year 1000. Some say died in the year 1006. So that would make him 1,019 years. Soon it's going to be 1,020 years when the apple drops. 1,020 years ago, 120 times 10. Yeah. 120 times 10 in honor of his 120th birthday. Since he died, articles publishing for the first time an elaborate sefer, basically elucidating this 120-page letter that answers where Rabbi Shirira Goin responded to seven questions. There was a community called Cairo One. As he pronounce it? Cairo One.
Spell it.
Near Tunisia. I don't know how to spell. Near Tunisia. It's near Tunisia, called Cairo One. And they sent
like
a letter.
C-A-I-R?
It's like Egypt, Cairo.
Right.
But you have to add to the end of it the syllable one, like either the number one or like you win a baseball game or something like that. I really don't know. It doesn't matter to me. And it's near Tunisia, and they sent a letter, seven questions, and he responded to the seven questions in the letter that's about 150 pages in Aramaic. It was translated into French. It was translated into Arabic, and there's differences between the two. And it's fascinating, totally fascinating. And there's a lot of incredible stuff, history, and things that are mind-boggling. And supposedly, this new volume that probably already came out, I assume already came out already, or just came out, it will come out in a few moments, is going to have the entire letter, I think in Hebrew. I don't even know, I have no idea. And they're going to have notes, and there's going to be an elucidation. It's going to be a major chunk of their volume. I don't know, maybe not, maybe yeah, maybe not. So I'm very curious to see what they're going to write after I spent a lot of time reading about it in my other sefer from Rabbi Toledano. Rabbi Toledano has an incredible sefer on this, all these inyanim, and he has the incredible chapter on the sugya. That's why I got so worked up in this Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, because he talked, that was one of their questions, about their mayor and Stam Mishnayis. It was all part of the whole conversation. And here we have over here an incredible yisod is that my ha'ilu chacham and b'takanasim. What did he gain by making the Mishnah Stam Mishnah when anyway we're going to override it because we have another Stam Mishnah? Incredible, incredible yisod. It doesn't even really help to a certain degree. Okay, so as the one is ibay seim stam the ramah the ibay seim mishum digatoni la. Now, what does it mean by Hilchasa Dedin? So Rashi explains, that's why it's better. Another Mardika Yisoid, that this mission over here is like a sore thumb. I don't know that way. This is Masechta Nida. This is not Masechta Sanhedrin. What is it doing?
And the other one is Baba Kama.
That's in Masechta Sanhedrin. What does it say in halacha?
It's in the ballpark.
It's there. Where was that mission? The mission was by the Dayan. Where was that mission? You said Baba Mitzia? How do you know that? You went to another shir today?
It's one of the Babas.
It's one of the Babas? Okay.
I was learning with Rabbi Moshe Elephant.
And Moshe Elephant listening online, to tape online from the OU. Yes. The OU is a very Talmud Chacham. He's a Goyin Sheba Goyin.
He is.
He knows Kol Torah Kula. He went in Shas multiple times. Ma'amin Shal Kol Yisrael. Rabban Shal Kol Yisrael V'Hagoyla. Any event, so therefore it was taught in Masecht, in the Zakin, at least in the ballpark, he's saying the Bogud, in the Sugyas of Dayanim. This is Masecht Nida, no Sheiches. It's only being taught in Derech Agav. So you have a Stam Mishnah that is Derech Agav. It does not carry the same weight as a Mishnah that is taught in its in the proper context. Very simple, satisfying answer. Next Mishnah. Any item. And it's chayv in my choice.
Remember that with Kashrut, who was dying?
Yeah, you're right. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Okay.
A what? A
he's asking about the woman who was a dying. She was also a Navi.
Devoira.
She
was right. Also a Navi. Eishes lapidos. Right. They came to her. So how could she be a dying?
It's another spirit. It's another spirit.
How could she be a dying?
Yeah.
She was an advisor.
It is, but what's called Kashrut and Kashrut is not right then.
Oh, so you say that anyone that's supposed to be of excellent, excellent. So there we go. It's over there.
She Gemara? Was not saying Menachal.
You, wait, you have that in the Gemara? The Gemara talks about that? We don't know about
that.
Yeah,
it's in the Gemara.
Where? Our Gemara?
I you mean, learned this? I heard it.
On the Shear? The
Shear? The Magish Shear spoke about
it. He was speaking it out, but that is not in the Gemara.
I don't know if it's on the Daf. I don't usually look at
the Daf. Tosis. Yeah. You're talking about Tosis over here?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't see.
He was speaking out something. That's not in the Daf. Yes, Kasha. So Devorah, how could she be? She was not kosher to be a woman. Is not kosher.
Right, right.
But first of all, who says she's not kosher? Then she's kosher when it comes to Dina Yisrael Heter. Yisrael Heter, she is Neman. When it's over an aid, what's meant an aid? An aid Bezdin, or does an aid mean? Does the aid mean even include the big lum Shaila? That in Yisrael Heter, if I tell you the food is kosher, am I believed? If I tell, put that on the table over here, French fries.
Right.
I want a piece of chicken. And I tell you, eat it, it's kosher. Trust me. Am I believed?
Yes.
Eid echad. Oh, so what's meant the word aid? Does that mean, what is it a borrow term? A borrow term?
Yes.
So is that a real term? So when it says here in the Mishnah, call a kosher lod and kosher liho id.
Right.
Doesn't say kosher liho is aid. Liho id. So maybe it means you have the neman eid echanem. If a goy comes and says, "Trust me, Rabbi, it's kosher food." Is he neman? Is not neman?
A cotton.
That's a pasha. Cotton. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, it's not a kash. Anyone that can be in dayan. So let's say Taka, you're right. Let's say Devoira was a halach dayan.
Right.
Let's make believe that's not so pasha. Probably no people don't want to say that. But let's make believe you want to say that's Taka the Pshat.
Right.
Then, was she also kosher l'ho'id? She certainly is. But if you want to tie to an aid, to mean not a witness, to testify, Reuven killed Shimon,
right.
But Megeder, aid echa neman b'isurin. A woman is neman to be tell you that the food is kosher. How are you allowed to eat in your house?
Or Anita, I mean, she's
Anita, exactly. Or even when it comes to Aguna, a woman is neman as an aid. What?
To someone else's husband.
To sell someone else's husband died.
That's what it means here? It means
possibly, yes.
Okay,
right. Or if you don't want to say that, then right. Yeah, and if you want to go say they mean strict testimony, then and so then you have a very big problem. So then how was Devorah? So you have to say what most of the Pfarshim say is that Devorah was not a dayan. She was an advisor. She was a rabbinic advisor. She had Atis.
She had men around
Atis. She had men around her that would rubber stamp her advice.
Right.
Or sneeze. The men around her was more of a sneeze. Like today. Like a Rebbe. Yeah. You go to a Rebbe today. Rebbe's going to give you Psak Halacha. There's no Rebbe that gives you Psak Halacha. They have a Bezdin. You have a Shaila, you go to the Bezdin. You have so what do you go to the Rebbe for? A Kvittel. For advice. For Eitzis. For Brachas. For Siat Shmaya. You don't go for Piske. You don't go for Piske Halacha. You have Piske Halacha. The Rebbe says, I have Dayanim. Go to the Dayan. The Dayan will tell you the Halacha. Zelbazach, who says that she was a dayan? It's shefetes. A shefet does not necessarily mean that you're a piske halacha. It means you are a leader. A leader. You're not necessarily a piske halacha. Good? Vaita. I think that's Muhammad. Is that what he said, Rabbi Elephant? Was I Muhammad to him a little bit?
One of the things he said. Yeah.
What else did he say?
I don't remember the other things. He gave a couple other terutzim.
Next, Cole, how do you have so much time to do all these things in one daf? He's a genius. He's able to get all the stuff in.
I'm not a genius. I
mean, he's a genius. He's able to get all the stuff in one shot. He's able to get pack in the daf like that. Cole Shachayu b'maestras b'tumas echolim v'yesh b'tumas echolim v'ein echay b'maestras. I need a food. In order for something to be called, in order to be something to be tamei, it has to be a food. If you take a clump of dirt, a clump of earth. If you pick up a clump of earth, that's something you would say. Right?
Well, if the food is machaber to the earth.
Right? A sheep, a geep. What was the word? A jeep. Okay, we had the combination of a sheep and a goat. A jeep. a GP has all these funny words. A clump of earth, is it tame? Is it mekabel tuma?
No.
Why not? It's not a utensil, and it's not even a food. It, therefore, in order for an item to become tame, it has to be one of three things: either a human being, a utensil, or a food. One of those three things. Only those three things have the ability to become tame, to be tar and become tame. Either tar, they have one or the other. A dead animal is tame, but a dead animal is never tar. A living animal is not in the geder, it's not even the geder of tuma. When it's dead, it's tame. And well, if it's shchita, then it's a food. And then if it's kosher, it'll be a food. So if three things have potential, a living human being can be tame or tar, an object, a utensil, a table and chair can be, or a pot, a pan can be tame or tar, food can be tame or tar. What is called a food? Now there are certain types of things, the foods that are on the border. Sometimes you do eat it, you don't eat it. If I'm very hungry, I will eat it. If I'm not hungry, I won't eat it. There are certain things. Now, when it comes to giving ma'aser, when are you mechuyav to give ma'aser? Well, another rule, it has to be called a food. If you have a very bizarre type of fruit or vegetable that's nishtahi nishtaher, you don't have to give ma'aser because it's not called a food. It's just called, you don't give chum on twigs, on funny things. You give chum on food. So the rule is, if this thing is such a food, it qualifies as a food, at kedekach, that you have an obligation to give the coin, the lave, the chum, and the ma'aser, that automatically means it is susceptible to be makabel tumah. It's a food. But if you have an item, which Chazal say, guess what? This thing is susceptible to mekabel tuma because we call it a food, but it's not enough of a food that you are chayiv to give to the kohen levi as trumas and ma'aser. So it's another example of a one-way street. What are we talking about? Let's see, basar v'dagim ubeit. Very similar. You don't have to come on to my example, which I think there are my examples. Very simple. Meat, basar. Do you give trumas and ma'aser and basar? No. Do you give on dogim? No. Do you give beitzim? No. These items you do not give trumos umaisrais, but they are foods to mekabel tuma.
Right.
So therefore that's the example. Next kosher chay bepeya chay b'mash. In this chay bepeya chay b'mash.
What is the reason?
The Torah never told you to give trumos umaisrais on basar. Never. The Torah was never mechayev you to give
only on vegetation.
Only on vegetation. Grains. You give basar. You give other. You give the zoya.
Mice of behemah.
You give the whole animal. It's a carbon. You give a whole animal, and each animal, and every one of your animals, you have to give the coin, the zeroya, the lichayav yakeva. Every animal is a taka. It's a mordik apeluai. Today, they had a whole thing, a whole meeting, 3, 4, 5 years ago in the OU, challenging them, why don't you give the manas kahuna? The halacha is every animal that you slaughter, you have to give the tongue, the lichayayim. The lichayayim doesn't mean the cheek. It means the tongue, the cheek with the tongue, and the zroya means the right arm, and the cave of the stomach. And the stomach today goes in the garbage, so it's not okay anyway, because the FDA puts it in the garbage. It's not healthy. And the zroya is valuable, and the cheek, you know what it costs to buy a tongue in Glamart? Over $50.
A lot.
Over $50. It's probably less, probably a lot more. Okay, probably even more than $50. How much does it cost? To buy a tongue.
Pickle tongue or regular?
A pound?
Yeah, whatever, by pound. Regular.
I think it's $25 a pound.
$20?
I think so.
Pickled?
I don't know.
I remember seeing on Pesach, maybe they raised the price then? $50 for a tongue.
Everything cost extra.
$50, a lot of money for a tongue.
Especially a hotel.
According to the halacha, that tongue is gezel. It belongs to the kohen. It belongs to the kohen. What in the world are they doing selling you the tongue in Glamart when that tongue belongs to the kohen?
So
they had a whole meeting in the OU, like it did. So the truth is in Yerushalayim, about 100, 200 years ago, they had the same problem. And there, what they did was, if you're going to take away the tongue from the butcher and make him give it for free to the kohen, he's going to go bankrupt. So they made a condition, they made a shtar, they brought the kohanim together, and they wrote a shtar bezdin. And they gave him a couple of bucks.
Right?
They gave him $20, and this person was meichel on behalf of all of the kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim.
Really?
Yeah. And they still do it at Hayoyim Hazeh. They get a hold of a coin and they give him a couple of bucks, and he signs a document that he represents all of the kohanim.
It's like meichel.
Yeah, it's worse. This is there. And so today people are now beginning to wake up and challenge. So what about America? Why is it America? No one in America does this today. It's a very, very big problem. It's mamish gezel.
Is it nicker on a tongue?
What?
Nicker.
I don't know. I don't know the rules. I don't know. So what's going on? How come? So they had a whole symposium there. They wanted to give an answer. Today there's no kohanim yuchasim. We have no one to give it to.
Right.
So it's a very shvacha answer.
Right.
Because if he's good enough, if he's good enough for Pidyon HaBen,
right,
he's good enough to get the cursed aliyah.
Right.
He's good enough to give him the tongue.
Right.
Good enough to give him the tongue.
Rappaport
so I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. I have actually a whole kuntras on this. They present the holy rope, the whole meeting.
That's why you don't need tongue.
They have the whole meeting. The whole meeting they wrote up in a kuntras where they challenged Rav Shachter. I don't know who wrote it. They went
from the OU.
Yeah, not the OU. A guy went to the OU. He met with all the rabbanim. Or Rav Shachter, the older rabbanim, Ganak, and he basically challenged them, and they had a meeting in his, and they had nothing with the answer.
Right.
I think we have to look into this. We have to look into why is the Minhag Yisrael even Ad HaYom HaZeh where we do not give the Matnas Kahuna on a behema to a Kohen. And the answer to say that you're going to want to say is because there's no Kohanim Yuchasim today is a very, very weak answer. Basically, the whole Kuntras, you should know, was that point, is to show that the answer to the no Kohanim Yuchasim is such a Shvacha answer. Because that's what, we don't Kohanim Yuchasim. Excuse me. It's not an answer. They're good enough. The kohanim are good enough. So let's see, basar v'dag and beitzim. So these things, there is no din truma semaisrais, but yet they become tamei. Okay, and just because no truma semaisrais doesn't mean you don't give. You do give. You give it in a different way. You give the kohanim the manas kahuna. You give the basar, and you give even the whole animal, every tenth animal is a kohen. So you do give gifts, but there's no din of truma and maaser. That particular halacha of giving truma and maaser does not apply to basar v'dagim and beitzim. And in fact, beitzim, you give nothing. Isn't it interesting halacha? Every grain item, you give multiple gifts. Basar, you give multiple gifts. But when it comes to milk, and when it comes to eggs and fish, there's no halacha to give anything to the Kohen. Not truma, not meiser, not unbelievable. Everything we do in life in Yadus, you're always giving gifts. And these commodities, dogim is a very powerful thing. Dogim, garnished. You don't have to give the Kohen anything. You don't have to give milk. Why not? Why don't you, there's very shageis, you give the wool, the first sharing of the wool, you go give to the Kohen. So why don't you go give some milk to the Kohen? I don't know. Vaita. Next. So you have a field, and you're obligated to set aside a corner of the field, a small corner, is shears a mashu. You give whatever you want, the Mishnah says, but they don't give a mashu. You cordon it off, this goes to the poor. If this type of grain is obligated in Peah, it is certainly obligated to give Chumas and Maestras. The grain itself and the rest of the field. You don't, but the pay itself, you don't give truma semaisrais. The grain itself is hefka. You don't only the recipient gives nothing. But if this type of grain,
gives
nothing, gets away with it. But if this type of grain is obligated in truma is grain that can potentially be obligated in truma semaisrais, but this type of grain will not be obligated in pay. What's the case? The Gemara, let's see te'ena v'yarok. Figs and vegetables, there's a din to give truma and maaser on figs and vegetables, but there is no halacha to leave over part of your fig trees and your vegetable patch, your tomatoes, to give some of them to the koyen. Why? The Tanan, what's the called? Kalam Rabbeya, Kol Shuku, here's the rule, this is a very famous rule. Kol Shu Oichel V'Nishmar, anything that is a food. Okay, it has to be consumed by mankind. The nishmar, it's guarded, meaning people go through the effort. It's not hefke. It's not something which you let that grows out in the wild. The silver here, the rashi over here, peks. You bring it in. You take it into your storehouse. You don't leave it out in the hefke. The gidulay min aretz. It grows from the ground. You gather it in one shot. You don't go out into the field and gather it in a little today, a little tomorrow. Unlike figs, the Gemara is going to say in one moment, because figs, you go out, today these figs are ready, take them in. You guys, not ready yet. You stay out here in the sun a couple more days. You got a week later, okay, you're ready.
They don't all ripen at the same time.
You're ready, but not you guys. So it's not likidasa kiyachad. Grain is one shot deal. Grain is either all good or all no good. You don't go come back for grain multiple times. Umachnisa likium, and you put it away for long term. Figs, other types of things, don't last long. They only have a short shelf life. Chayupeya. Oicha lamute sefiche sotis vikoitza. Thorns. And sefiche sotis, what's that? I don't know, weeds. Certain type of weeds. Rashi over here says, sotis, sefiche sotis vikoitza, de ein oichel ela min tseva. Dies. It's some type of grass, herb, I have no idea, which produces, it's cultivated, it's grown in order to produce colorful dyes to color your clothing, but it's not consumed. So there's no chiv to give these things, chumas and maestras, kites of thorns. People need thorns for many things. You wanna torture someone, you need a thorn, you have to cultivate thorns, whatever you need them for. Vinishmar, lamute hefke, anything that is hefke, there is no chiv to give chumas and maestras. Digilum nekarts, lamute kebimubatiras, mushrooms. There's no din because mushrooms in halacha do not grow from the ground; they grow from the air. Okay, halacha grows from the weather. Your scientists will tell you, and under a microscope, it grows from the ground. Don't confuse me with the facts. Don't confuse me with the facts. If it looks like it grows from the air, that's all the halacha needs. It grows from the air. Pat ulikidos akiyachad. That's what we need for algamar. Algamar over here is lamute tena. You put away for storehouse a long time. Lamute yorok, that's the next part of our Gemara. Vegetables have a very short shelf life. Memela, it's not like grain that can last years. The right conditions, you put grain away for the right conditions, can last for years. Be bugs though.
You can use your shmura matzah from the previous year.
It can be bugs. The only reason why Satma does not keep Yashan, the Satma Rav wanted Yashan very much. When he came to America, he wanted Yashan very, very much. So he was making a takon on the Hasid. Then they told him, Rebbe, do you know that the Yashan is infested with bugs? Then, I don't know today if it's still true. And the Chodosh, there are no bugs. So if we're going to be Machmeh on a Chumim with the Rabbanon of Yashan, it'll be very likely
the
over. What?
Where did the bugs come?
Because it was not well kept. In America, when they harvested grain, they put it away before the law in 1960. Before 1960, everything in America was only yashan. Right. Why? Because there was a massive surplus. So everything was, the farms were very lazy, and until it got to market, the new crop, they learned the old crop, there was a surplus. And then they made a law in the early 60s, that our friends, the Russians, are starving to death.
We gave it to them.
And even though we're going to nuke them eventually anyway, in the Cold War, but in the meantime, there should be someone to nuke. So in the meantime, we have to feed them food. They shouldn't starve to death. And they sent overseas all of the grain. Overnight, Yashan became a nightmare. Because when the farmers said that you're sending, the law is all the surplus goes across seas to Russia, because they're starving to death, what do they send them? They send them the old stuff. So what was left for us? The new stuff. So overnight, everyone in America started eating chadash. It became a big problem. The Rebbe said, no more, you have to yashan, it'll be machmir. They told the Rebbe, if you can be machmir and yashan, all the chassin are going to be eating bugs. Because all the old stuff is full of bugs. And bugs is an isu deraisa, five isu deraisa. Grain, chadash is a derabanan. So what's better, deraisa or derabanan? Forgot about it. But today it's not true anymore. Today the old stuff doesn't have any more bugs.
No bugs.
No more anymore. It's all the same today.
It's packaged well. Either.
It's stored with the technology. The facilities where they store better. So that's the difference. Okay, what about but onions are chayiv, it's not malbonis with solim, meaning malbonis means bulbs of onions, shabin hayarak, so these are chayiv in peya. These are chayiv, but we learn over here that it would come to yarak, the main point we know is the yarak is an exception to the rule. All right, Shabbos, Mr. Shem, 3 o'clock, I think 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Next week, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to be for a whole
Where?
Week.
Where? Next week?
Next week, whole week, one way Eretz
Yisrael. We're going to Eretz
Yisrael. Sholim is going to give the show the whole week. My brother's making a wedding. His daughter's getting married. So I'm going to the wedding.
So I'm making a pilgrimage.
What?
For December 25th. Bethlehem.
What, that give me next week?
No, I'm saying you're going to Bethlehem.
Jacob became blind at the end of his life, it said.
The end of his life? How much end? How long did he live blind? And he was poskening.
Vilan came in Leben, Daf Men Velen Leben.